hold your finger in Colossians 3 that we read together, and I'd just like you to consider a verse or two in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start with verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Again, notice long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Notice the word in verse 12, the last word, long suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. I'd like us to consider the subject this morning, forbearing and forgiving. We continue our studies in the one another relationships as revealed in God's Word. Lord Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. He said, I command you to love one another. And then over and over again in God's Word, we have these reciprocal pronouns mentioned. Be kind one to another. And by the way, there are also reflexive pronouns mentioned throughout the New Testament. For instance, yourselves, it'll say. Not just one another, but actually it'll say forgiving yourselves. So there's a little bit different nuance when you talk about the two-way relationship. And it's saying, I think, when it gives the reflexive pronoun, that you're also to be consistent in how, may I say this, how you love yourself. Because there are times that you can forgive someone else, but you may not forgive yourself for something. The Bible says we should love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And we've all been tempted to think, well, we have offended the Lord so often with this particular sin that we can't even hardly lift our chins off the table and even to confess it, because sometimes we're unbelieving that surely the Lord is now past His long-suffering toward me, and we beat ourselves up because of the disappointment that we have in committing a particular offense over and over and over again. But I also think that the reflexive pronoun has the idea also that we're to not be selective in our actions of love, that it's to be across the board, across all ages and all different kinds of spheres. But just amazing the variety that the Lord shows, doesn't He? He wants us to be a complete person, a complete Christian, just like our Savior, to be like Christ. He says to show family affection toward one another, Romans chapter 12. It says be kindly affectioned. The word kin is obviously in the word kind, and even in that particular verb. And we're to treat one another as kin by having family affection. We're to have a membership mentality. We're members of the same body. We're to treat one another as a royal family, for Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords, where it says preferring one another. We're to be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving one another. Last week we looked at confession and intercession in the book of James, where it says that we're to confess our faults one to another, but not as gossip and not as slanderous, but it says, and pray one for another that you might be healed. Well, today, twice in the New Testament, it says that we're to be long-suffering, forbearing one another. In Ephesians, it says in love, and in Colossians, it says forgiving. And I think we'll see what in particular those thoughts are indicating. But what about personal offenses toward us? It's one thing to confess our faults to one another when we haven't necessarily faulted another, but we've just had a personal fault. But how are we to react when someone offends us? Well, the Bible says we're to react with long-suffering and with forbearance. When we are the object of hurt, we are still to show kindness and to have family affection. And we are to be Christ-like, as we noted in the children's moment, how the Lord Jesus, how often was He offended by His disciples, and yet what long-suffering, forbearance, and forgiveness was shown to them time and time again. And the Bible says we are to be imitators of the Lord Himself. And I know long-suffering and forbearance are synonymous. And certainly the Lord by this is saying, keep being long-suffering. Be long-suffering even to a fault. Or be thoroughly long-suffering. Why would He say this in this particular couplet, long-suffering, forbearing? Why didn't He just say long-suffering in love, long-suffering and forgiving one another? He said long-suffering, forbearing one another. So He's definitely making a statement by doubling this thought. So what is it saying? To be thoroughly long-suffering, to be consistently long-suffering, to have long suffering within and without, inside and outside. We are to be long suffering people. And again, 1 Corinthians 13, would you and I have put that at the top of the list? If we say, well, describe love in 15 ways, we might say love is kind, and that was close to the top. Or love is generous. Or love is unselfish, and those are there in that passage. But love is, and the Lord says, long-suffering. Love suffers long. Love is forbearing. That's at the very top of the list, which says something, doesn't it? It says something about our state, that we offend one another, doesn't it? For you're not long-suffering toward one who is not either offensive or inconveniencing, or weak, or somehow an obstacle to the progress of the whole body or the family. But it certainly is saying to have long suffering, to put it on. It says in this passage, it's a fruit of the Spirit, and if we put it on, if it's part of our character, then it can be part of our behavior. And so you see where belief affects your behavior, and your behavior reflects your belief. How often do you hear people say doctrine doesn't matter? It does matter. It matters that we believe in the fruit of the Spirit. We believe that the Spirit of God produces a believer and completes a believer. We believe in the sovereignty of God, and we believe in the authority of God, that He's authority over my life, and that He commands me to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to have the fruit of the Spirit. And if I have this fruit, then my behavior will flow from that. I can't be what I'm not. Oh, I can act something that I'm not, but I cannot be what I am not from within. And a person can have profession without possession, but it's just a sham. You've got to possess the truth. You've got to possess Christ. You have to possess the Spirit in order to not just have a profession, but a consistent testimony and the action and the character and the attitude of a believer. So character definitely determines behavior. And the Lord is saying here, I want to produce the character of long-suffering in you. And if you are a long-suffering person, you will behave You will speak as a long-suffering person. You will act as a long-suffering person. And how often we see the difference in the world. People are at odds with one another. They erupt when they're offended at the drop of a hat. We've all seen illustrations of that. I told you years ago when we were going door-to-door in the community, just over here on May Street, a couple of us were just inviting folks to hear the word, and we came upon particular neighbors that were standing on the edge of their properties, nose to nose, literally. I don't even know if there was an inch between the two men's noses. And there was one wife on this side egging it on. I didn't see the other man must not have been married, but it was a younger man and an older man, and they were literally nose to nose, screaming at each other. And the wife over here was saying, you know, something like this to get it on. And I just remember trying to be a mediator. Gentlemen, I couldn't even get their attention. They didn't even look at me. I said, gentlemen, you know, it's not worth it. Time is short. And I was trying to do something like that. And it was useless. And the verse came to me that something like taking a dog by the ears, you know, if you try to interrupt, what is it? Yeah, when you meddle with strife not belonging to you, it's like taking a dog by the ears. So, you know, when you take a dog by the ears, you're likely to get bit. So at that point I said, look, we better back away. Let's just go on to the next house. And while we walked away to the next house, we looked back and they're still at it. I think it died down by the time we finished the street and came back. We had to walk right past the same people, but because it's a dead end over there. But, you know, that's obviously the extreme. But so often we find that is a normal case, at least not that extreme. But forbearance and forgiveness is not something you normally find in the world. If it's found in the world, it's on the front page. Or you might say, well, maybe not the front page, but the third or fourth page, when it should be on the front page. But it should be on the front page in the church. It should be on the front page in the Christian marriage and the Christian home among believers of the Lord Jesus. I just challenge us to think about these things, not only today, but to ponder them daily and to pray that the Lord would make us forbearing and forgiving people. So the Lord tells us to be long-suffering and to prove it by being forbearing with one another in love and in forgiveness. First thought is that these are obviously needed in times of offense. So offenses and sins and even situations will happen that call for this kind of love. The Lord would not command our forbearance and our forgiveness unless the situations would arise that call for them. And they arise all too often, don't they? Jesus said offenses will occur, will happen. And remember, James says, in many things we offend all, unfortunately. And in this passage in Colossians, notice it says in 3:9, it's a negative one another command, lie not one to another. And I don't know if there's any offense that's more offensive to us and provoking than to be lied to. And here it's saying, lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with its deeds. You know, a lot of things you can see that don't seem to be too tempting to put up with, but when you're being lied to in your face, it is a very offensive thing. And even here it's saying, in the context of being lied to, be forbearing, be forgiving, be long-suffering. And, of course, there are situations that call for our long-suffering, not necessarily our forgiveness, but certainly our forbearance. The Lord talks about those that are weak in the faith, those that struggle over different doctrinal issues, to believe, whether it be even the assurance of salvation. The assurance of salvation is not necessary for eternal life, but it certainly is a peaceful thing. Salvation is necessary for eternal life, but the assurance of salvation is certainly something the Lord urges and admonishes to put on the helmet of salvation, but there just seem to be people that have broken helmets, or they just don't take their helmet with them. They're not wearing it, and they're constantly being bombarded with thoughts that they have not been converted or maybe cannot be converted. But the Lord is there to bring people along, to be forbearing and long-suffering and helpful. Or there are those that worry excessively. We all tend to worry, don't we? But we need to be forbearing with one another and encourage one another to not be anxious, to be anxious for nothing, but with everything by prayer and supplication, to make our requests known to God. Those that are often in depression or faint-hearted and so on, there are situations and souls and certainly times of offense that call especially for our forbearance and our forgiveness. That with those offenses that are taken, if thy brother sin against thee. But what about offenses that are given? In many things, Paul or James admitted, we offend all. He included himself. He wasn't perfect, and he was our Lord's half-brother. We all need to take and to give for forbearance. And if any man has a complaint against another, Colossians 3:13, a quarrel against another. The Lord is saying, I want you not to emphasize the quarrel. I want you to emphasize the forbearance, the forgiveness. Focus on the restoration, not on the quarreling. And so often we take delight in quarreling rather than in covering a multitude of sins and taking delight in the forgiveness and the love. So let us all be on our guard. Scott was teaching in Sunday school that the three states of people, and the state now is that we are certainly as saved people still unstable, still able to offend, hopefully growing in grace, but we do stumble. In the glorified state, we will not offend. We will be stable. We will be perfectly holy and stable, but we still are unstable at times. And the Lord is cautioning us that there will be unstable times that we have to deal with. And how do we meet them? We meet them with love. We meet them with forbearance. We meet them with forgiveness. Secondly, these times that need forbearance and forgiveness are trials ordained to test our spirits. What would the work of God be like if it wasn't tested? What would Adam have been like? He was under probation. His love had to be tested. And so does our love today. Is anything worthwhile that hasn't been tested? Our Lord was in all points tested like as we are, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We have a Savior who is perfect, but a Savior whose perfection was constantly stressed, constantly attacked. And His perfection was not an easy perfection. Christ's perfect righteousness is a righteousness that has been tried, true. We can say that the righteousness of Christ is certified. It has been tested. We see a windshield that has a certification on a certified sticker, or an engine, or something else. It's been tested. It's been run. It's been put through the trials. So our righteousness from Christ that's been imputed to us is a righteousness that's been tested and tried and succeeded. Jesus said, it is finished. So what would our character be like if it wasn't tested? The Lord wants us to be long-suffering and forbearing like Jesus, so He's going to throw at us in His providential sovereignty situations that call for it. This word means to take, you know, like the Old Testament, the word in the Old Testament, long of nose or long of passion, as I was saying to the children. It means that it takes a long time to upset that person. He's calm, she's cool, she's collected. And the Bible says of the Lord, God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so it is, God's people are to have a high boiling point. They're to be angry, but not sinfully angry. We're to have high boiling points. It's the fruit of the Spirit who's within us to strengthen us so that we might be calm when we're attacked, calm when we're offended, loving when we're tried. Ephesians 4:2 says, forbearing one another in love. I thought forbearance was love. It's interesting how he adds that, forbearing one another in love. And could he not be saying there's a forbearance that's not loving? There's a forbearance that is just, as we were communicating, putting up with someone ungraciously. Biting the lip, you felt like screaming, but you didn't. But you might as well have screamed because the scream was inside. God sees the inside as well as the outside. And our prayer is that we won't be screaming on the inside, nor will we be screaming on the outside. There's to be forbearing one another in love, a loving forbearance, not merely an endurance of the person, but an endurance with love, forbearing with long suffering. And again, it starts deep. You put it on, it tells us in Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, long suffering. Putting on speaks of character, of something that you're clothed with, not temporarily, but something that is a character trait, a fruit of the Spirit. The Lord's going to test us. You know, don't we pray, Lord, mature me, make me like Christ? And are we surprised when we're offended very shortly after that? I have to confess my fault. A particular fault. Last Wednesday, we talked about having patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And remember, was it last Sunday or last Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday. I said, you know, when someone cuts you off on the highway, what do you do? What is your first reaction? Is it anger? Or do you start thinking through the gospel? Maybe that person's rushing to the hospital. Maybe that person's sick and he's just not able to think. Well, I was cut off on the 33 going toward the airport on Thursday, right after we had this. Wasn't that Wednesday night that we talked about that? And you know what my first reaction was? I beeped the horn. And you know, as soon as that man darted past me into the entrance to the next, it's just like my heart just sunk. I thought, just less than 24 hours before this, we've talked about having a quick reaction of love rather than a quick reaction of impatience. And I said, Lord, look, I'm not practicing what I'm preaching. And in many things we offend all. How do I know what maybe that fellow was rushing to an emergency? Maybe it was just that he forgot to pull over sooner and get behind and endangered the traffic. But nonetheless, this is a test to us that we might become more Christ-like. Thirdly, the Lord uses the Word. He uses the Word to cause us to be, as it were, marinated in long-suffering. Think about it. God is speaking to us in this passage. It's His Word. And behind His Word is omnipotence. He doesn't command us to be long-suffering and forbearing and forgiving without His power behind it, without His aid, without His help. And look at the text later on that we read together. How is it that we become long-suffering, forbearing, and all of these other character traits? Holy, beloved, kind, humble, meek. Look at verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's letting the Word of God saturate us in all wisdom. That is, as we think through these things and ponder them and discuss them. Not that we just simply read. Reading is good for us. Reading is necessary. But we read and we study and we think about the truths of God. And we sing about them, where it speaks about teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There may be even songs in our hymnal that we sing about that urge our long-suffering, urge our forgiveness, or songs about the Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Thinking about God's long-suffering and his compassion. Well, we're not going to become long-suffering without the Word saturating our souls, us being marinated in the Word. We need the Word. And I ask this gently today, how are you doing in the Word? Is the Word saturating your soul? Do you think when you're reading the Scriptures? Do you read the Scriptures to let the Word of God dwell in you richly? To let it be like water that's passing through a sieve and cleaning out, you know, passing through your system. Water is good to drink, much water to purge our system. So the water of the Word purges our mind and purges our hearts. Are you reading the Word, brother and sister? Are you reading it to your spouse and children? Are you reading it often? You let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is how we're going to become long-suffering and act in a long-suffering way. It's the means of the Word. Yeah, as we discuss the Word, as we preach the Word and teach the Word and read the Word, think about the Word, meditate, memorize the Word. So this is the means that God has provided. And may I remind us, as we talked about the prayers of the Scriptures, and particularly in Colossians, to add sweetener to our forbearance. You know, there is a forbearance with love that, and there's that sweetener that's needed, where it says in Colossians 1:11 that we're strengthened with all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. There's the sweetener, isn't it? Love is the oil and joy is the sweetener. Joy is the sugar. And it's always good to have sweetener in your love and your long-suffering, where it's enjoyable, where people aren't seeing that you're merely putting up with them, but they're seeing that you're being long-suffering toward them with joy. You're actually taking delight in exercising that fruit of the Spirit. We may be surprised. How can it be that God has given me long-suffering in this case? And we begin to thank God, as it says in Colossians, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us fit to be inheritors. I mean, look at the context where the giving of thanks is, wait a minute, so often I have erupted when I have been offended. I've erupted when I've had situations stress me. And I've seen the grace of God that I've been patient and long-suffering with joyfulness. Thank you, Father, for your grace. I see the work of the Spirit in my life. I see that God is working on us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Let us not forget to take note of the grace of God in our lives and in the lives of someone else. When's the last time you said to a believer, I see God's grace in your life. I see that you've been patient in that situation where you said you used to be very, very agitated about it. I see God's grace in your life and your kindness and your generosity and your forgiving spirit. God is working in your heart. How often do you read that in the Scriptures? Paul would say, I'm so thankful that your faith is spread abroad throughout, you know, the Roman Empire. And he thanks the Lord for the generosity of the Philippians that's known through all the Jewish churches and so on. Oh, how the Lord is able to add this sweetener, where we can actually have a smile on our face and a smile on our hearts when we are reacting to offense and to difficult situations. And again, let us be reminded that when we're offended and when we meet situations that call for forbearance and forgiveness, it's an opportunity for a relationship. Just like last week, maybe you've had a hard time relating with a particular brother or sister here or somewhere else. well, maybe I'll just let's have a time of confessing our fault. I'll ask that person for his prayer. That might be the way that you relate to someone that you've had a very difficult way of relating to in the past. So what about forbearance? You just may, that person that you've had a hard time interacting with may offend you. There's your opportunity for a relationship with that person. To show forbearance. To show forgiveness. We ask, how can I relate? How can I love this brother and sister? This may be the opportunity the Lord provides. Rather, a situation for our arms to be extended out because we've been offended. A situation for our hands to be extended out to show forbearance and forgiveness. Where this forbearance is to endure willingly rather than unwillingly. In Romans 2, where it speaks about God's forbearance with us, He didn't merely put up with us. He forbear with us willingly and that we might be saved. You know, it's a challenge. It's a challenge, your endurance test, but your endurance test is their forbearance gift. Think about that. It may be your endurance test, but it's the person that you're enduring, you're giving him a forbearance gift. You're giving him a fruit, a sweet fruit to take from your tree that he might be nourished by it and edified by it and blessed by it. Just like the goodness of God and the forbearance of God led us to repentance. So it is, your forbearance may be used of God to lead that person to repentance. They're used to someone flying off the handle and being offended and being bitter when they're crossing another. But they're not used to people showing forbearance and forgiveness. So it is in this world. You know, when's the last time we offended a lost person? When's the last time you texted a lost person and said, forgive me. Forgive me for doing that or saying that. God has forgiven me. Will you forgive me? Could be an opportunity, a platform of witness to that particular individual. They're not used to people forgiving or they're not used to people confessing their sins and having a humble spirit. The proof is in the forgiving. Remember our study in Ephesians 4, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. We wondered how is forgiving one another, why was that in the context of being kind? One suggestion was that when kindness is spurned, we need to forgive and simply keep being kind, for forgiveness is an evidence of kindness. So it's saying here that the proof of your forbearance is in the forgiving. The proof of your long suffering is whether you're willing to forgive that person and help that person. No respect of persons. It's across the board, not our personal family only, but the Christian family. And also how we react to our neighbors or strangers or even enemies, where love covers a multitude of sins, where we're forbearing with our enemies and we're praying for their salvation, where we throw coals of water upon the fire. Our often offenses, we believe God forgives. He forgives us. He's forbearing with us and forgiving. And so it is, we are to be like the Lord. Look at the gospel again. It's always in relation to the gospel. Verse 13, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the testimony, the life of Christ that is our inspiration and is our power. It's the power of the gospel unto salvation, not just our initial salvation. The power of Christ, the gospel of Christ is the power of God of salvation, and that extends all of our life. We're still being saved from our sins. We're going to be saved forever from our sins. But today, the power of the gospel, we think about Christ. You know, that's one one blessing about being at the Lord's table, where we stop and we ponder the love of Christ, the passion of Christ. Why did He love us? Why did He die? What did He accomplish by that death? And just stopping, just to ponder the gospel and to ask for the power of that life of Christ to be felt in us, to change us. It's the gospel. It's a living truth. The Lord is not saying here, just be long-suffering. He's saying, you can be long-suffering and forbearing and forgiving because you have a Savior who forgave you. You have a gospel that has present power and reality. You have the truth of God in you. You have the Spirit of God in you that is producing Christ-likeness. Always. Every command of God is backed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the power of God. The proof of our forbearance is in the forgiveness. Remember, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. It just keeps on forgiving, keeps on forgetting, keeps on not wanting to remember. It doesn't bring out the jail card, you know? How often do we say, we play that game, Monopoly, and they've got get out of jail cards. And you only get one or two or three. I don't remember how many you get, but once you've got your max, you're in jail. How often are we jail keepers? This is your last get out of jail card. You offend me one more time, it's all over. I'm not going to be your friend anymore. Is that how the Lord is to us? He gives us get out of jail cards. We're not jail keepers, brother and sister. We are brothers keepers, as it says. We're not jail keepers. Now, I joke with the kids, you know, when they're not at the curb or whatever, when they do something on the bus, I say, you know, here's your get out of jail card. And you know, obviously there are only certain times where you have to turn them in, you have to write them up because it can really. But I'm not a bus driver that's a jail keeper. I want to be forgiving. I want to be kind to the kids. And so we are as believers, not jail keepers. 70 times 7, Jesus says. The testimony to the world. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's walk worthy of the Lord. Of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all long suffering. And what does that mean? Who's going to see whether we're walking worthy of the Lord? The Lord's going to see it. The testimony, the world's going to see it. It's reflecting that we're the elect of God, Colossians 3:12. You see that? Where it says, and here's a motivation that the apostle gives. 3:12 says, put on as the elect of God. You're showing that you're God's elect by being long-suffering. And you are risking that people misconstrue who God is if you're not long-suffering. For you call yourselves Christians. You call yourself the elect of God. And if you're God's elect, people are going to read your character as it's coming from God. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What do we see in the world? We see truce breaking, abandonment, gossip, slander, enmity, malice, anger, wrath. That's what he says in this passage. Mortify your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. That's what is in the world. That's what's in the flesh. That's what's ungodly. But as you show long-suffering and forbearance and forgiveness, the world sees something different. They see godliness. They see that there's another world. that is out there that is heavenly. The Lord tells us that we need to be like Christ, who was long-suffering toward us, one who is forgiving over and over again. Our God is a forgiving God because He is a long-suffering God and a loving God and a just God and a merciful God. And so, like the Lord, may the Lord grant to us grace to forbear one another and to forgive one another day after day after day, time after time after time. And may the world sense Christ-likeness and desire the Savior and know that only Christ can make a person forbearing and forgiving.